Hi, this is Mark Cuniberti. You're about to listen to another edition of our award-winning economic show entitled Money Matters. The information given on this show is obtained from a variety of public sources and is deemed accurate at time of airing but is not guaranteed. This show is pre-recorded at an earlier date, so market indices and related stock market references may not be accurate at time of airing, and we will not be taking any listener call-ins. Thanks again for listening. Now enjoy the show.
And welcome to the 260th show of Money Matters. Be advised that the views and opinions expressed on this show are my opinions only and do not necessarily represent Cambridge. This station staff members are underwriters. I am an investment advisor representative at Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Please don't take this show as investment advice. Consult a qualified investment advisor before making any investment decisions and do your own research before investing. Investing involves risk. You can lose money. Good morning. My name's Mark Cuniberti. Thank you for another edition of Money Matters, your investing forum, market forum. And today, we have kind of a version of investing in community. We talk about not only investing in money on this show, but investing in the community around us, because it makes for a stronger economy, it makes for a stronger community, and that in itself helps your investment needs and helps the investment of the community around you, which helps everybody around here, right? So we're broadcasting from the studios of KBR FM in Nevada City, California, November 16, 2017. If you're hearing this at a different time, because it is re-aired on different stations at different times, the market indices given today may not be accurate at the time of hearing, of you hearing the market indices. Did I say that, of course? Dow's up 198.81.85%, sitting at 23,470.09. Last couple of days, we have seen a couple of sell-offs here. But has it stabilized? Don't know. I'm seeing on Yahoo Finance, Yahoo.com, House passed a bill, $1.5 billion tax bill. So maybe that's doing it. We shall see. So these large numbers, 23,470 is where we sit. 23,000 below us in the Dow is a support level. And 24,000 above us is a resistance level. There's also small and minor resistance and support levels over and above us and below us. But the big numbers are usually what people look at the most. And so we'll see. And we're right in the middle of 23,000, so it doesn't look like 23,000 is in any jeopardy at this time, or 24,000 above us is a possibility, at least today, unless it goes up 600 points, and that would be something. So there you go. And, of course, our website is moneymanagementradio.com, and the website for your community radio station, just email the program director at your community radio station if you have any questions or comments on the show. Also, you can find out about everything that's happening on your community radio station on those websites. And again, just find out your local website. Ours is kvmr.org, but again, this show is carried on many stations, rebroadcast all over the nation, except in Texas and somewhere else. Not allowed to broadcast there for some reason. So today, yeah, we are investing in community today. Not all about money. We'll have some time. We will cover some more of the markets. But today we are talking about Thanksgiving is coming up, of course. And there is needy people throughout the world. And so today we have the director of our local food bank here, one of the two, the Interfaith Food Ministries, Director Miss Sue Van Son. Sue, good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Well, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. And so I would imagine that the topics surrounding Interfaith Food Ministry are similar with all the food banks that are going around the nation, but maybe you can tell me a little bit about your specific organization, the Interfaith Food Ministry. I've worked there, supported the industry, and give us an idea of your vision and your mission.
I would love to do that. So we have about 450 volunteers and a board and executive committee that are all committed to one vision. And that vision is that in our community, no one would know the hurt of hunger.
Okay. And so when it comes to people that need food, as a general question, are you seeing over, let's say, the span of the last 10 years, more people coming to your doors or less?
So that's a great question. There's been a lot that's happened over the span of the last 10 years.
Yes, there has.
So, yes, there has. And so, while we were very confident with what we were doing about 10 years ago when the recession hit. We found that our numbers almost doubled within a year. So we had to make some accommodations. We actually moved to a larger building, did our distribution a little bit differently. And then last year, we felt like maybe we were rallying and our numbers leveled and even went down a little bit. Unfortunately, and we're not exactly sure why, this year that trend has not continued. Our numbers are back up to what they were a couple of years ago. And we're just really thankful that we're, even though we don't understand why it's happening, we're able to react and respond to it.
Do you, can you comfortably say that you always have enough resources or never have enough resources?
I think somewhere in between. this community has been incredible. We're open every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and families can come every other week. And so while we don't have unlimited resources, we do have to make difficult decisions as to how we're going to distribute that food. And so, yes, we have lots of money to do wonderful things. Could we use more? Always.
Okay. And in this county, about there are two food banks in this county, of course, Food Bank of Nevada County. And of course, the Interfaith Food Ministries. So, as far as IFM, Interfaith Food Ministries, how many do you have an idea of how many families and/or people you actually serve, let's say, a month?
Sure. Well, let me start with a year. So 2016, we had over 3,000 families that we served. When we look at a two-week period, because our families can come every 2 weeks, not that they all do, but and most of them come when they need to, we serve about 1,200 families every couple of weeks. Because they get a second visit, many of them, that number, you know, bumps up to 2,400 within the context of a month. Last year, in 2016, we distributed over 90,000 bags of groceries. So yeah, those are giant numbers. And just these last 2 days, Monday and Wednesday of our distribution, we were over 200 families each day.
Do you see more families during any specific time of year?
The winter tends to be a harder time for families because so many jobs are dependent on good weather. And so we do tend to find that during the winter time, our numbers go up just a little bit.
So the IFM takes support in a variety of forms, I would imagine. So maybe you can speak about the variety of those forms in monetary support, obviously, but what are the other types of support that you look for?
Right. Well, one of the great questions people always ask is, where do you get your food? And like you said, certainly we purchase some of it, and most of it we actually purchase. But we have another system here in our county that we call gleaning. So we send out volunteer drivers every morning. There are two routes. They hit every grocery store and a little more. And those things that the grocery store needs to move quickly, they give to us. We sort through it, make sure it's great for our families, and then we can offer that. So one way that we get support is just through the community of grocery stores. Certainly, there are food drives. It's the holidays. There's food drives happening all over the place right now. Our local grocery stores of Safeway and Raley's and Penn Valley Holiday Market are all right now offering a prepackaged bag of food that you can just pay for at the register, and that food comes right over to Interfaith. So grocery store support, individuals, communities are doing food drives. And then, of course, we have volunteers. That's another way that can support. As I mentioned earlier, 450 volunteers. There's a lot of jobs to do. On any distribution day, we're probably at 30 to 40 volunteers. So lots of things from packing to driving to distributing. Some people who have computer skills help with our receptionists. So there's a lot of things happening over there. And any way you're interested in getting involved, we'd be more than happy to have you.
We're speaking to Sue Vance, director of the Interfaith Food Ministries here in Nevada County. And of course, wherever you're listening to the show, there are food banks all over the place. When somebody goes in, I'm kind of interested myself, when somebody goes into the grocery store and buys a bag of food, They don't actually transport the food to you, do they?
Right. No, they don't. So the grocery stores have made it really convenient. So when that bag is purchased, it's tracked in their computer system. And then three different times throughout the holidays between now and in the middle of January, they count those totals up, they put them on pallets, and we bring them over to Interfaith Food Ministry.
Okay. Now, there are some grocery stores that apparently not helping. Is that right?
No, all the grocery stores help. Every grocery store is involved in gleaning.
Okay.
But there are some corporate grocery stores and then our Penn Valley, local Penn Valley Holiday Market, who have decided they want to do something a little bit extra. Mm-hmm. The Raley's here, while they sell the $10 bag at the holiday time, they also have the Food for Families program that is year-round. Okay. And that's really focused on nutrition and getting good nutrition in the hands of families that are struggling.
Now, obviously, vegetables don't have an expiration date, but if somebody, they donate, you know, 500 pounds of vegetables, you go through it, you throw out the ones that are rotten.
That's right.
And then as far as the canned food, people would say, oh, they're serving expired food. That's really not true.
So it's a little bit true because there are some expiration dates that food handlers say that you can go a little bit beyond. Mm-hmm. But most of the food that we get, honestly, we buy. And when we buy it, we're buying good expiration dates. So a lot of people say, well, I have this food. It's a year old. I always say, just bring it down. We'll sort through it. We know the best buy, good buy, use by, all those buy dates. Mm-hmm. And we'll figure that out. And we do get rid of the food that's not good for human consumption. At the end of every distribution day, we have farmers that come and they take that food and they take it to their chickens and their pigs and their llamas. Yeah. And so there's really not a lot of food waste.
The living garbage disposal.
That's right.
Like my kids.
They might not like that comment.
Yeah, exactly. So the facility is fairly new that at least you're in. Mm-hmm. How many square feet is that?
Wow, that's a good question. I would say it's about
10,000.
About 10,000 square feet. That's what I was going to guess.
And when the food comes in, how many volunteers actually work inside the building? They're sorting food and going through it.
Yeah, so most of our food comes in on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And we, like I said, we buy that from any place that will deliver because we don't have any trucks. So if you deliver, you're our best friend. And so those come in. We usually have a team of about 10 to 15 people. They're sorting anything that's been donated. They're making sure that the food that's been purchased that comes in gets to the correct place. And they get things kind of ready for us on the Monday, Wednesday, Friday distributions.
We are speaking to Sue Vanson, director of the Interfaith Food Ministries here. Again, there are two food banks here in Nevada County. If you'd like to talk to Sue or myself about the distribution or have questions about the food bank, how they work, please call at 530-265-9555, 530-265-9555, and we'll get you on the air. If you're listening to the show actually on a different date than November 16th at 12:25 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, you won't be able to call in. And you also get support from government agencies?
We don't.
You don't?
No, we don't. The only time we would get the support is if we write a grant for that government agency. And so we have done that here in our community through block grants and I guess that's what they call them, CSBG. Mm-hmm. But other than that, we don't. It's a community-supported organization, and it started that way amongst different faith communities here. And they decided that instead of doing things separately, they thought this would be a great thing to collaborate on. So they all got together and created what we now know as Interfaith Food Ministry.
How long has Interfaith been around?
30 years. This is our 30th year.
Wow. And the you have a board of directors, you're a mm-hmm. nonprofit,
mm-hmm.
and so when it says interfaith,
yes.
so how is the, I know a lot of people would say, you know, how yeah. is religion interweave with
yeah.
this, or is it, or when I say interfaith, mm-hmm. could you be an agnostic or an atheist and come in?
That is a great question, and it is an often misconception. So it started among faith communities. We now have 15 faith communities, everything from Sierra Center for Spiritual Living to the Catholic Church. We are not discriminatory on which faith communities join us. We actually would love to have more be part of our board. You don't have to be of any particular faith to receive food. You don't have to be of any particular faith in order to volunteer. In fact, half of our donations, half of our volunteers come from just the community at large. Mm-hmm. The other half come from those faith communities that are what we call our member congregations. But we're really open to any of that. So the faith is really about who we have been, where we've come from, why many people who started the organization do what they do. But we've extended that because we recognize that everyone recognizes that mm-hmm. we don't want to be hungry and we don't want to see seniors and children and families hungry. So we've decided we're going to put everything else aside. And this one thing we agree on.
There we go. We're speaking to Sue Vanson of Interfaith Food Ministries. Before we take a break, if you'd like to talk to Sue or find out some more information, we're welcoming live phone calls, 530-265-9555, 530-265-9555. We'll be right back. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. Today we're talking about investing in our community. And, of course, investing in people that need a hand up is very important. It's like those that really have to be lifted up. And we're speaking to Sue Vanson, director of the Interfaith Food Ministries, one of the two food banks here in our county. And I'm sure you have food banks wherever you're listening to the show as well. So we would urge you to consider to check them out and see what they're about. So, Sue, I guess the question would be, you have how many paid employees?
Well, up until 4 years ago, we had zero paid employees. Okay. But when, again, that recession hit that we talked about earlier, we recognized the need for a bigger building. And when we thought about moving to a bigger building and changing the way we distributed and the whole transition, what that would entail, we recognized we were going to need to hire somebody to take us into that, through that, and then into wherever our next place would be. So about 4 years ago, I was actually hired as a part-time employee. So I'm contracted to work 20 to 24 hours a week. And then last year, as we've grown and as we've expanded, not just making sure people get food, but making mm-hmm. sure they get nutritional food and they get consistent food, not just whatever kind of happens to be donated, we recognized the need for more funds. And so a year ago, last April, we hired our second part-time employee, and that is our development director, Kate Ferrier.
Okay. And since you get no support from government agencies unless you write a specific grant, I guess the question would be, why don't you write more grants?
Well, that's why Kate was hired.
Okay.
So she does that. Yeah, 96% of whatever is donated goes directly to our food program.
Okay.
The rest of that is the administrative costs and a few facility things.
Now, if somebody wanted to check out the financials of the food bank being a nonprofit, it is public information.
Yes.
Do they go to, I think it's Gold Star? Where do they go?
Well, you can go to our website, first of all.
What's your website?
Yeah, it's interfaithfoodministry.org.
Okay.
And we're very transparent. We want you to know everything about us. So you can check those tabs up at the top, and one of them says about us. And you'll find every board meeting minute. You'll see any presentation we've done. You'll see our financials, everything you might want to know. Now, if there's something that's not there that you'd like to know that we've somehow overlooked, please, you can email us right there on the website, and we'll make sure you get it, and we'll make sure it's available to others.
Okay, and that would website, again, is interfaithfoodministries.org. And Sue, what's your phone number there?
It is 273-8132.
That's in the 530 area code, 273-8132.
And that website is Interfaith Food Ministry. No plural on that. Yeah.
.org, right?
.org.
Okay. And somebody wanted to call, they could volunteer.
Yep.
They could pledge support.
Yep.
They could bring food.
Yep.
Just bring it down.
We are really easy about that. We'll take whatever you've got.
What are the hours of operation there?
We are open for clients from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Okay.
But we also have volunteers that are there every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday starting at 7 o'clock in the morning.
And going to when?
Till about 1:30, as soon as families are gone and we're cleaned up.
Tuesdays and Thursdays?
Tuesdays and Thursdays, we have volunteers there just in the morning from about 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock.
So somebody could say, I got a truckload of food. They can come down there and somebody will probably take it.
They will take it. You can always also call, and if we're not there, leave a message. We'll get right back to you and answer whatever questions or set up for a time if you've got some delivery.
So if somebody needs food, they come down Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. What's your address?
We're 440 Henderson Street. And that's just behind the bowling alley in Grass Valley and the Beam Easy Living Center.
Sure. They show up, get in line. Now, is there documentation required to get food, or they show a driver's license? How do you do that?
Yeah, so that's part of the problem for us is that we have the limited resources. So some of our hard decisions are that we've decided to serve families here in Nevada County. And so we do ask for proof of residency in the county.
Mm-hmm. Can they come back multiple times? How do you deal with that?
Yeah, so we have a computer system that helps track that, and they can come back every other week. So it doesn't matter which day of the week you come, you just skip the next week, and then the week after that, you can come Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then skip the next week.
How do you decide how much food, whether it's a single person or somebody with seven kids?
Yeah, well, certainly we do distinguish. So usually a person that's single walks away with probably one or two bags. Mm-hmm. A family of seven is going to walk with seven or eight bags of food.
Do they have to just have to tell you, or do they have to have everybody in tow?
We don't have to have everybody in tow. In fact, we would encourage you not to do that. It's a small facility, and it can get a little bit cramped in there. We do ask for a Social Security card from each person you want to receive food from.
Oh, okay.
We only take the last four digits, and it's just a tracking number for us. And we do recognize there are some that's going to be really difficult. So there are lots of places that your name and Social Security number are attached besides on a card. And our just come in. That's really the biggest thing. Bring an ID. Come in. We'll get you set on figuring out how to get the other things that we need.
What if somebody is undocumented?
Well, that's a tricky subject. We do feed undocumented people who live in our community.
And how do you discern that they haven't come back to if they don't have an ID number or a driver's license?
Well, we issue an ID number for them.
You do? Okay.
We do that for it. We do that for our homeless population and our undocumented population, because often for them, it's either impossible or nearly impossible to get those numbers.
All right. Well, I've always supported the food banks, I think, since the lower 1980s when I was able to, right around the holidays. And so let's talk about the Thanksgiving programs that you have running first, and then we'll move on to Christmas.
Okay, because it is right around the corner.
Okay, so tell me about what's going on in Thanksgiving. What are you distributing? Mm-hmm. What are you looking for, et cetera?
Yeah. So there are a number of agencies that work together at the holiday time, because for all of us, we want to make sure that any family that's struggling doesn't have to struggle for the holidays. It's enough all year. It's really nice to be able to provide a meal and that stability. So we've teamed up with the Food Bank of Nevada County. We've teamed up with Salvation Army, and we've teamed up with the Grass Valley Ladies Relief Society. And all of those organizations work together to make sure that the families get a holiday meal at Thanksgiving and then at Christmas. So we've started that already. We distribute those meals the 2 weeks prior to each holiday. So we started last Saturday, actually. We have a once a month, second Saturday food distribution that we work in collaboration with the United Way for. So our Saturday families got a holiday meal, and then our Monday and our Wednesday families, and we'll do it again tomorrow. And then we'll do it again Monday and Wednesday of next week.
And what's it? Do they get a turkey? Or a big chicken?
Both. So our families that are single get a whole chicken and extras. They get stuffing and cranberry sauce. Those were donated from the Food Bank of Nevada County. They get a roll of kind of poppin' fresh biscuits and some butter. That was donated by Salvation Army. And then there are other things that the food bank or others have donated that we put in that bag of extras. Mm-hmm. If you're single, you get the whole chicken. If you're a family of two or more, you get a turkey.
And when did you start giving out these turkey packs? Is that last week, this week, or only next week?
We started last Saturday with our Saturday distribution, mm-hmm. and then we'll do it all this week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And then we do it next week, Monday and Wednesday, because Thanksgiving's Thursday. And if you are not a part of Interfaith Food Ministry, but you do go to the Food Bank of Nevada County mm-hmm. or the Salvation Army, we've given them vouchers that you can get from them. So you don't have to come sign up for everything we do. You just bring that voucher over tomorrow. That's the day for the vouchers. So if you've got that voucher from one of those organizations, come over tomorrow and we will get you that Thanksgiving meal we just talked about.
Okay, so I'm not quite clear about the vouchers. I'm a person, I need food. Why would I not just go to you direct? How do I get a voucher? Why would I need a voucher?
Yeah, so pretty much anybody that needs food is part of one of those organizations. And so it's easier for us to work with those with the food bank and with the Salvation Army, because that's where the connection is. That's the personal connection. Mm-hmm. So they've got that personal connection. They know they're talking with people about, if you're already an Interfaith client, don't even worry about it. Just head on over. But that's where the relationship is. So we try and work within those relationships. Mm-hmm. Now, I have had a couple people call me on the phone and say, I'm not part of any of those organizations. What do I do? Mm-hmm. And then I say, you just come on down.
Yeah, I mean, why would they even need a voucher? They just come over. I mean, if a guy says Salvation Army needs food, why would they give him a voucher? You could just send him over.
Well, yeah, it's kind of chaotic. So a couple things that the voucher says. Number one, it lets them know the food that they're getting. So that's not a surprise and difficult when they get there. It also lets them know which day. So we've been distributing these food items to all this week and then next week, but we can't. The voucher creates another little hiccup in our system. Mm-hmm. So we had to say on the voucher that Friday is your day. So it's a form of communication for mm-hmm. us to let people know where we're located, what they're going to get, and when to come and get it.
So voucher day is tomorrow, Friday.
Yes.
Okay. And then you have a Saturday distribution. I personally know that is fairly new. So let's talk about that. When does it happen and why is it happening?
Yes. So the United Way is an organization that supports many nonprofits here in our community and many communities. And they did some surveying to find out where there might be some gaps in our community that other nonprofits are not already filling. And one of the gaps they found is that there are working folks that sometimes qualify for government assistance, but a lot of times don't. They make just above that level. And those working folks work on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays when we're open from 10 to 1. Now, we knew that too. And for years, we've been really struggling with this. How do we help those families that are working? One of the things we do is sometimes they'll come on their lunch hour and we rush them through, but that can be really stressful. Mm. So the United Way came to us and said, hey, we're interested in opening up on a Saturday. You guys do food. We can provide some volunteers and some funding. We see a need. What do you think? So we started talking and spent months of conversation before 6 months, 7 months ago, we opened up our first Food Access Saturday is what we call it. And it's the second Saturday of every month. Started out very slow, but it's built momentum. We just started our seventh month of doing it. We had over 40 families come, which we were really excited about. And those are families that can't make it during the week. So we feel like if even we didn't have anyone else come, if those 40 families were the ones we served, that's 40 families that don't have the stress of needing food. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to say, we all have stress. If we can remove a stress from a family, then that trickles down to a lot of other things, mm-hmm. and it makes for a lot better family dynamics.
Yeah, I know in the news there's a lot of talk about basic health care and the rights for health care, but really food goes actually to the first level of need. I mean, for people to go hungry is
that's right.
borders on criminal.
It's horrible. And here's the thing that I think when I talk to people that is so astounding to me, they're having to make choices that I personally have never had to make. They're choosing between, do I buy food or do I keep my electricity on in the winter? Mm-hmm. Now, do I buy food? Do I pay my medical bill? Do I buy food or do I go back to school so I can get a job that makes more money so I don't have to go get food from Interfaith Food Ministry? These are really hard choices for people to make, and they're doing without in some area. So we hope that giving food means they don't have to do without as much, and they can get that kind of that step up so they don't even need us anymore. We'd love to work ourselves out of a job.
Sure. And, you know, I was speaking to, I can't say who I was speaking to, but they were saying, well, there's a lot of people that double dip and triple dip. Oh. And, you know, for a while I always thought that. I was wondering who's double dipping or triple dipping or just doesn't want to work. But then I kind of just thought, well, if he's here or she is here and they need to be buy food for whatever reason or lack of whatever, you know, mindset, they still need the food. Because what are they going to, I guess, do you ever find anybody selling the food?
Yes, actually, we do.
How much could you make?
So it's a dilemma. Really? You know, we know, so first of all, I'll tell you for 99% of the people, it's the hardest thing they've ever done to walk into a place and say, I can't feed my family. Mm-hmm. I've watched the eyes and the posture of people do that. Mm-hmm. And it is very difficult. So we know that for most people, they're there because they need it. For those that aren't, we feel like every time they walk through our door, it's an invitation for them to make a better choice.
Right.
That's really our philosophy. Right. And we just can't judge. You know, maybe somebody had a job yesterday and they've got a great car. Now they don't have a job. They still have that great car, but they have no money. And so we just know that the circumstances in each family are so intricate and so complex that really we want to invite people to be in a better place than they were the day before. Mm-hmm. And that's what we feel like we do with giving them food.
Yeah, I've been at both food banks and I've actually seen people that I know show up. You
that's
know?
Right.
And that's a difficult situation.
It's really embarrassing. It's hard.
It doesn't have to be. I don't go,
absolutely
I don't
not.
Go up and say, hey, why are you here? I just go, hey, how you doing? And how's
that's
it working?
Right.
Yeah.
And we try and make that. That's part of our mission is to make that process one that is full of dignity and full of a welcoming spirit so that when they come in, they know that they're amongst people who care about them and really want to walk through some really difficult times together.
So I'll touch on it one more time with the name Interfaith. I think I've had comments in the community over the years that they're thinking that if they're giving to Interfaith, they're giving to support religion. What do you think about that?
Well, that's not true. We have multiple faith communities that are a part of our organization. We couldn't possibly choose one. And in fact, if we all sat down and talked about our faith, we would probably disagree on most things. Okay. But we don't disagree on the fact that we would like no one in this community to be hungry. And so we come together and nobody is discriminated against, whether they're a client or whether they're a volunteer or whether they're a donor. We accept everyone into what we're doing. Our faith comes from where we started, and it definitely is the driving force for many of us. But we also know there are lots of other reasons that make people want to give back to their community, and we want to welcome them.
We're speaking to Sue Van Zon, director of the Interfaith Food Ministries here in our county, Nevada County. Of course, there are food banks and other support areas, Salvation Army and the rest that are in your county. And so it's either easy to find, I would imagine, and they're pretty easy to get food from. And, of course, you know, I'd petition for listeners to consider, you know, basic food on the table is really, I think, a basic right. And you know, nowadays we can't go out in the forest and shoot a deer. It's illegal, and there's no place we can gather wild vegetables unless we're way out there. So it has, civilization has installed some problems now that we can't just go out. I suppose if you're living out on Hawaiian Island, you can go out and fish, but here we can't gather food on our own. So we would welcome you to at least explore those opportunities for you. So you have, after the turkey, of course, then Christmas. So what do you do for Christmas?
So at Thanksgiving, we do the whole poultry and stuffing and cranberry. But at Christmas, the 2 weeks prior to Christmas, we do the exact same thing again, except we do hams. We do hams and mustard and applesauce and scalloped potatoes. But we really, again, want to make sure that our families that are welcoming in. I had a grandfather come in the other day and say, I've never had my family at my home for Thanksgiving. I'm a single person, but can I get a turkey and can I feed my family? Absolutely. That's what we're about. We want to make sure that those moments aren't as stressful as they can be at the holiday time.
So, during the holiday time, I guess you would regard that from Thanksgiving to Christmas.
Yes.
Your usage by the public actually spikes. So, but in the holiday season, how many people do you serve in that particular window?
Right. So we have all of our regular families, but we plan for over 1,200 holiday meals at Thanksgiving and over 1,200 holiday meals at Christmas. So 2,400 extra meals that we're giving on top of our regular budget. So we figure it costs us about $20,000 a holiday. So $40,000 in the next 2 months.
Right. And again, did I hear you right? There's only two paid staff.
Two part-time paid staff.
And I didn't see any Maseratis parked outside when you pull up to the studio, right?
No.
So how many volunteers do you have?
Over 450. Our board president has the exact number. It's like 469 or something.
Wow. That's incredible. How do you get along with no trucks, no vehicles? How do you do that?
Yeah, we have a lot of volunteers. So those gleaners that go out every morning, they take their own vehicles and gather food and bring that back from the grocery stores. That's our gathering that we do.
Right.
We order our food from a lot of organizations that have a delivery process as part of what they do. So we get food from the Placer Food Bank. We get food from an organization in Oroville and another one in Chico. And we try and buy locally. We get food from a lot of the grocery stores. We're buying our hams from SPD Market. Big shout out to SPD. They are super great at finding us as good a deal as they can get and then helping us get those transported over.
I have a program that will benefit either the food banks wherever you are. You can find out more on that program at moneymanagementradio.com. That program is closing, so I would urge you to consider, if you want to help, either contacting one of the food banks directly, or if you want to come part of the program, you can just check out moneymanagementradio.com, and it has gives you instructions there. Okay, so throughout the year, busy canning out food, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's the second Saturday of every month for the Saturday distribution.
Yep.
The schedule doesn't change for the holidays.
That's right.
You don't close any week of the year, really, or do you?
There are about 3 days a year, depending on where holidays fall. We do close the day after Thanksgiving. We do close if Christmas is on. Christmas or Christmas Eve day is on a Monday, Wednesday, or Friday. We do close for that. But we always have those closures posted so our families know they're on our window. And on our calendar is on our website, so you can always check out our calendar. I think it's three at the most. If 4th of July falls on a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, it's up to 5 days a year. But we try really hard not to close because our gleaning of food still comes in.
Right.
And of course, families, they don't stop being hungry just because there's a holiday. So it's mostly we close because we can't get enough volunteers there because there are so many people gone for the holidays.
Sure. But Thanksgiving falls on a Thursday. Last time I looked, but you're not open on Thursdays unless you're receiving food.
Right.
You're not distributing on
Thursdays. That's right.
Okay.
So we only close on a Monday, Wednesday, or Friday.
Okay. And other than that, we're speaking to Sue Vanson, director of the Interfaith Food Ministries, one of the two food banks here in Nevada County. Would you like to add anything else before I let you go?
I would just say, whether it's a food bank, whether it's Interfaith Food Ministry, whether it's another organization, this is an opportunity to give back to your community. So I would encourage you to find wherever your passion is, find somebody that's doing that. Join them. They'll be thrilled to have you. And it makes such a huge difference in your life as a volunteer, but also in the lives of those you're impacting.
I have a tendency to burn food if I cook with red wine. Even if there's no red wine in the food, there's red wine in the cook. And I've always said, I burned a few. Man, I've burned some good steaks over the years. My whole family laughs. Dad, the barbecue's on fire again. But I've always said that no matter what my turkey tastes like, and I've had some bad ones, I know that, you know, we're helping to feed, 2,500 to 10,000 people. How can you not enjoy your That's turkey right. dinner, even if it's terrible?
That's right.
So... okay, that's great. So once again, your food distribution days and times, first of all.
Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock. The second Saturday of every month from 10 o'clock to noon.
And your address, physical address, since you don't have any mobile distribution sites, Food Bank of Nevada County does.
That's
you have to contact them for where those are. Give us your address.
We're at 440 Henderson Street in Grass Valley. And for those of you who know that area, we're behind the bowling alley, which is called Prosperity Lanes, mm-hmm. and the Beam Easy Living Center.
And they have to show up with ID. And if you're picking up food for other people in the family, you must have a Social Security card or just a number?
Well, the number and the name attached. So it's on a lot of different documents.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a picture of your card. But here's the reality.
I don't even know where my Social Security card is.
Show up with your ID and mm-hmm. proof of residency in Nevada County, and we'll help you figure out the rest.
Okay. And the phone number?
530-273-8132.
And the website?
interfaithfoodministry.org.
Well, I'd like to thank you, Sue. I've known you many years for all the things that you do in the community. I know you work hard over there, and they're not paying you $1 million a year for sure. So,
that's not why I'm doing it.
No, I know that. I want to thank you for your support. It's been great.
Thank you, Mark. It's been great, actually, to be able to talk about it.
We'll be right back. Sum up the show. You've been listening to Money Matters on your community radio station with the director of Interfaith Food Ministry, Miss Sue Van Zandt. And you're tuned to KVMR FM in Nevada City. My name is Mark Cunaberti. Big thanks goes out to Sue Vanson and of director of the Interfaith Food Ministries. director of the Interfaith Food Ministries, and there are food banks all over that are supportable. So if you are in the capacity of interest of finding out more, just Google up your local food bank. And, you know, food really, I mean, for me, food is the basic necessity over healthcare, education, any of that. You got to be able to eat, man. And so, you know, we all aim where we do. You know, it's funny. My son is applying to college, and he was using the food bank. He was an honorary board member since 2013. He was 17. He's been in there since he's been 13. And he did a little essay for college. And did you know that the Americans spend $61 billion on pet supplies, and the World Food Hunger Organization estimates $54 billion is spent on food? We spend more on our pets than we do on people, at least in those two comparisons. And it's not funny. I don't mean to laugh, but it is an interesting observation. Okay, remember, views are my opinions only. Do not regard this show as investment advice. I am an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent Cambridge. This station and staff members are underwriters. Investing involves risk. You can lose money. Consult with a qualified professional advisor before making any investment decisions, and do your own research before investing. My website is moneymanagementradio.com. You can find out how to support your local food bank there. And our station here, KVMR-FM, where it's emanating from, is kvmr.org. Or on your community radio station, just find out where your community radio station's website is and contact them there. I will not be on the air until first week of December, so I want to wish you the happiest of Thanksgiving or whatever holiday you celebrate. My heart goes out to you and your family. Enjoy it. Have a good time. God bless you.